Joining us now is our friend Romy Bean on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline over, of course, at CBS4 in Denver. Follow her on Twitter at Romy_Bean. Romy, thanks for the time tonight. Obviously, a remarkable game in the literal way. Many things to remark upon. I guess the first thing I would ask you is that following Bridgewater's mea culpa today about the play, is that still all everyone's going to look at? Because in the end, that wasn't everything that doomed the Broncos. They started out poorly. They were behind the eight ball from the get-go. That just sort of felt like the cherry on top to me.
You know, absolutely, Sean. I think the thing is, that's not why they lost the game. It's certainly not Teddy's fault that they lost the game. You know, I've gone back and forth, watched it 1,000 times, and I think the outrage that people are showing to Teddy is ridiculous. Yes, he should have done something. Put your foot out, get a tripping penalty. Just put your body out a little bit, right? But, you know, quarterbacks aren't paid to make those big tackles. You would have liked to have seen him do something, but the outrage, I think, is really misplaced. I think everyone's so angry at Teddy, they're forgetting that Melvin fumbled the ball. Yeah. And by the way, this is the second time in the past 2 home games that he has fumbled the ball in a crucial moment.
Of course.
He did this in the Washington game, almost blew the game, and everybody's just blaming Teddy, and they're forgetting that the $8 million running back has fumbled the ball.
Who's making a lot more money than Teddy Bridgewater's making, by the way. At least being paid by the Broncos a lot more than the Broncos are paying Teddy Bridgewater. And at some point, you get what you pay for, and nobody's ever suggested that Teddy Bridgewater was anything but an average quarterback. But to suggest he's not a tough guy or lacks character for a guy who 5 years ago almost had his leg amputated and wouldn't accept anything other than a complete and total return to the game. He has been a capable backup and a rather good starting quarterback for the Broncos in comparison with the other 9 Stooges they've had playing quarterback for them and starting games since Peyton Manning retired. And, I mean, anybody who disputes that is foolish. But as a symbol, Mark Schlereth, Romy, made a great point on our morning show today, and I want to get your reaction to this, because you pay a lot of attention to these kinds of matters. He said it's part of the culture, and that play kind of symbolizes who the Broncos have been over the last 5.5 years, give or take, that let somebody else do it is kind of the organizational credo that has developed over these last 5.5 years. I don't have to make the tackle. Let somebody else do it. And that is a culture that is so set in cement now that I don't know if anybody can break into it unless you make a clean sweep of all the key people in the organization. But that was Mark's point, that what you saw in that play yesterday was part, unfortunately, of the culture that has developed around the Broncos in recent years.
You know, and I would agree with that. I mean, I think it does come down to, I thought of all the things, you know, Teddy said, and I thought it was very stand-up-ish of him, by the way, to come out and talk today, talk to the media. He didn't have to do that. You know, you talk about him having to re-earn the respect after what happened, and I think those little things, right, if he comes out and he lights it up the next 2 games, you know, all is forgiven, whatever, whatever. But the fact that it came down to, you know, it wasn't just Teddy. Where was everybody else on that play? Tim Patrick was the only one running down the field at the end. And so it is, like you said, force him inside so somebody else could make the tackle. It's always somebody else. And the thing is, it's interesting, I was actually talking about this with my parents tonight, that nobody, who is anybody looking to for accountability? And this is going to go all the way to the top, to ownership. That the fact that it is gone this long, look, who is Vic Fangio, you know, answering to? Who is George Payton even answering
to?
There's no ownership. And as long as it continues like that, guys, I mean, it is, in a way, you know, you can't blame the NFL, but you almost wish somebody had come in 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and stopped this nonsense and forced a sale. Because now it has become such bad habits because, again, nobody's answering to anybody.
That's
so
right.
Why should the players answer
right.
to anybody
right.
if the coaches aren't, if the front office isn't? And sadly, I keep saying this, until this team really is sold, until there really is an owner, we're all in a holding pattern.
It seemed to me, Romy, that Draymond Jones' quote after the game was maybe, to me, even more than the Bridgewater thing, that was what I was taking away. Is I'm trying to think, in my career, how many times a player has come out and basically said, yeah, we didn't play well, but the coaching was poor. And that's essentially what Draymond Jones said. When asked to expound upon it, he said, some of the times the play call was right and we didn't execute, and sometimes the play call was wrong. And the first thing I thought about, and I put that up on social media last night because it was, you know, in the mood, and then suggested that, look, all that means is that these guys know that this coaching staff isn't going to be around anymore. And certain players, now certain players can't, but Draymond Jones is one of the young cores of the offense, of the defense. He's under contract. He's not going anywhere. So what does he care if he calls out the coaches? He's going to be here next year. The coaches are not. And this is the kind of stuff that can happen on teams that are bad, and maybe even more importantly, teams that know they are bad.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because Draymond, at some point today, put out kind of a clarification statement, if you will, on Twitter. But it only clarified that he was saying exactly
right
what he was saying. You know, he kind of said, yes, it's on all of us. But
right.
in a way, it was a little bit refreshing to hear. I got to be honest, I kind of enjoyed it to hear somebody actually say, you wonder, right? And because we're not allowed in the locker room,
right.
and I've heard bits and pieces here and there, but you can't really get the full take. And so to hear a guy, as politely as he could, I mean, he didn't necessarily throw anyone under the bus, but kind of said, hey, it's not just us who's not executing. And again, frankly, I found it a little bit refreshing, but it also is very telling. It is very telling on in terms of kind of the level of respect, right? You don't hear anyone over at Bill Belichick's place saying that was on coaching, right?
Right.
So that tells you,
you couldn't even imagine that.
Players
steal. Yeah,
right.
that is unimaginable that someone would say that. Anybody. And so I guess now that this team is going forward into the bye, I know they're going to look at it and say they're 5-5. They're just going to try to go out and get some wins. But it kind of feels in this game, whether it was Bridgewater's failure to tackle, whether it was Jones pointing out the coaching was poor, whether it was Mark Kisla's column in the Post the day of the game where Fangio was basically still beating his chest about beating the Cowboys and suggesting that he finally dug into the other two phases of the game. It felt to me like the dam finally broke. The cracks have been there. We've been watching it kind of crack. We've been watching a leak spring here and there. And now I just wonder if the rest of the season they can do anything to keep this from just falling to pieces.
You know, I feel like you only hope that they can for the sake of, you know, things can take a really sour turn in that sense. But I don't know. At the same time, I think even if things fall apart, right, players still play because you want to put good stuff on tape,
yeah.
even if they're just waiting it out. Yeah. And at this point, why are they not just waiting it out, right? You know, like it was a week ago, I think Kenny Young said, oh, you know, I could see myself staying here. And I thought, I think that's just lip service. I think Kenny Young's just a smart guy, and he knew that when he first came here.
Well, if he didn't know before, he knows now.
right. So, you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, I think we're getting to the point in the season where it becomes every man for himself, right? Guys are playing for contracts.
Yep.
Guys are playing to put stuff on tape. So you still get some decent football because nobody wants to go out there and lose. But, you know, what inside that locker room is galvanizing you to really come together? And again, I like Teddy, but now he comes and he makes a big speech about, rah, 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 we got to stick together. And there's probably a couple guys saying, no, okay, really? Right? After what happened on that play. So it feels like what's the string that's really holding them together? And I mean, I can't really think of anything, guys, you know, unless they just gum out the next couple weeks and they manage to string together some wins and you just play for this season, right? You just play for your pride.
The unbelievable stat that I came across, and I mentioned it earlier, the Broncos in the Fangio era have won 5 games by 14 points or more. In the game that follows, 1-4 is the record. This game yesterday very much included in that. So you not only have a team that has undergone however many losing streaks of 2 games, 3 games, 4 games, whatever, over the last 3 years, and if you want to extend that out 5 years, they had, of course, the long 8-game losing streak with Vance Joseph in his first year as coach. But it's a team that when they experience a rare taste of success, they don't seem to know how to handle it. And on the surface, there seem to be leaders still around, right? Justin Simmons and Bridgewater and, you know, even the young guys. I get the feeling, although he may not verbalize this, that by virtue of the way he plays, Javonte Williams is just trying to communicate to him, just jump on my back and I'll carry you. You know, and yet none of it seems to have much of a lasting impact. And especially with somebody like Simmons, who's been here. Now, Justin Simmons played a perfectly good game yesterday. I'm not fingering him, but I'm just saying, why has no young leadership developed as this team makes the transition from its championship past, which was only 6 years ago, to the future now? Why has no young player jumped in over the last 2 or 3 years and said, this is my team, and these kinds of efforts, even if they only happen once in a while, are unacceptable?
You know, I think it's because that hasn't been encouraged. I think in the sense of truly, you know, there was, you go back to 2015 and there was so many loud, big voices, personalities, the yep. Peytons and the Aqib Talibs and the DeMarcus Ware. And then, as Aqib Talib famously said, and I think maybe it was 2016, you know, he's letting all the dogs go.
Yep, they all let the all the dogs left, go.
All the voices left, and there was nobody to show, even the young guys, I think, how to carve the path. And Von Miller said this a couple of weeks ago. He said, those guys in there haven't experienced it. They haven't experienced winning the big thing. And when you think about it, it's true. None of these guys know what it's like to win consistently, and none of these guys, coaches or players, have won enough to really be in a meaningful playoff conversation. And so they don't know, right? I think that's something that this fan base and this franchise even is not used to not have an entire locker room full of guys that haven't really won anything significant at this level. And there's no one in there that has. So they're all walking around with no sort of a direction of anyone, just how does anyone guide us in the right way? I just think that none of them know how to. Yeah. Interestingly enough, I think that there are some really fantastic leaders in this rookie class. I think Jonathan Cooper, in a few years, has the makes to be a true leader. But he's young right now. It doesn't matter.
Sure,
right?
He's a rookie.
Right now, you look at this locker room, and nobody knows how to like really hammer down, have a big win, and how to actually just take that and move forward, as opposed to just marinating in it, because frankly, you don't know when the next big win is going to come. You know, that leadership just doesn't exist in that locker room.
She is Romy Bean. Make sure you follow her on Twitter at @Romy_Bean. And of course at CBS4 in Denver. Good insight, especially on that last point, Romy. I think we're going to be talking about that a little while after you leave. So thanks so much. Always appreciate talking to you.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. And you know what? I think we all deserve this bye week. So, enjoy it.
Yeah. Seriously. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Romy Bean on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline.